Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's another hour of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you on this Tuesday. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. If you missed anything with Wyatt Thompson in the first hour, voice of the Wildcats, you can go back and listen to that as we get you ready for KU game tonight. Conference play is rolling forward here in college basketball. We're getting at least to that time of the year where we get a lot of action on these nights because we're not preparing, TJ, for a Chiefs playoff game. We can get into the Chiefs and tasks at hand right away as Andy Reid has his exit interview, his postmortem yesterday. It's all coming for you. What's on tap? Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where you can drink Buffalo Sweat and help Buffalo right here in Kansas in January and February at all three WBC locations. A portion of proceeds from every draft pint of Buffalo Sweat Oatmeal Cream Stout will help support Maxwell Wildlife Refuge. WBC pizza and beer made here. It's Black Monday in the NFL. We've chatted a bit about that. Something else we haven't talked about at all is we hear from him yesterday after the extension. Matt Quatraro extended for the Kansas City Royals, TJ. It's a few days old now, but we can react to that just a little bit here. A lot of people love it. I'm fine with it. I guess I'm kind of indifferent with it. I think he's done a good job. I think 2 years ago, they far exceeded expectations. His first year was not good. And last year was probably good enough to warrant an extension, but certainly not something I would hope the organization is comfortable with. But, I think the timing was probably about right. But, last year wasn't good enough. I just don't want that to be like the standard, I suppose. I don't think they reached my expectation last year.
I don't think they did either, but I think that you and I have both agreed that it was an unfortunate circumstance of 15 injuries, 20 injuries that they had throughout the course of the year that kind of derailed them a little bit. I think the biggest reason to say that it was the right time to do it is they've just kind of been pulled, from the depths of hell of where they were. And he was a part of the 1 year that they were the worst team in baseball. I know that, but they weren't even relevant basically. And then, to make the playoffs and then to be relevant, you kind of just got to ride the hot hand until the hand isn't hot enough anymore. This year is kind of the year that I think that we'll see, as long as everybody gets back healthy, like they should be, this is the year that you'll see, what it does look like. And if it's a letdown this year with a healthy roster, then it's I don't know. But there's an argument to be made that, in the last two decades, there's been two managers of relevance for the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
You got to keep them when you can.
I agree. Look, it was fine. Here's the other thing that I would say concerns me a little bit. Mikel Garcia took a step forward, but I would like to see some offensive players take a step forward. I would like to see development at the big league level for some of the hitters on the roster. I think, Jonathan India probably didn't quite live up to expectation, although it appears that they're comfortable with him having an everyday role again this year. Bobby Witt Jr. was awesome as always, but I don't know that he replicated his year before. Vinny Pasquantino ended there, but it took him a minute to start. And now we have to see Jack Caglione take the next step in his development. That stuff matters too. And so, for me with Quatraro, are they developing at the big league level at a clip that we're comfortable with? Because the offense has been pretty bad holistically for a couple of years now. And they have, to me, too many talented players individually on the offense for collectively it to struggle as much as it has for most of the last 2 years. So that's the big thing for me. Yes, they did. They did fine last year. They did not reach expectations, but there are reasons for it that aren't excuses. They're legitimate reasons. Now we got to see this team come out. Why can't this team score more runs? Right? That's a question I think that has to be answered. And I think you have to start with Matt Quatraro, whether it's his responsibility or the coaches. This should be a better offense than it's been. I don't think that's unfair at all. I think that's a fact. They should be better offensively than they've been the last 2 years.
It should be, but I think in the same breath of that conversation, of that, you know, criticism, is that, you know, before he got here, the Kansas City Royals scored 10 runs a game and lost a lot of the time. Like, the pitching was terrible, and they've kind of turned it into something of, you know, him and his staff of the analytic side of it and everything that you talk about, the development of what they did with the Tampa Bay Rays before he got over here. The hitting, you know, took a regression last year and this year, or this past season and a little bit of the year one before, but the pitching was good. And so, you know, beggars can't be choosers. You got one thing. Now you kind of need the other one if you want to take the next step, and we'll see what that looks like.
Beggars can't be choosers, but the Royals aren't beggars anymore. Like, yep, those days are gone. They're not beggars. They're a team with a talented roster that the front office has spent a lot of money on, and especially relatively speaking, and now it's time to deliver. And they should be in contention. And you know, while Bobby Witt Jr. is there, and you've still got Salvador Perez, and you've got this kind of pitching staff, it needs to be a team that makes multiple playoff appearances. And I think if they don't make the playoffs this year, it's going to be a really big disappointment, bigger than it was last year. You know, all the things that happened to them last year for them not to get there, you at least had the opportunity to get Cags that first bit of, you know, reps at the big league level. Now you should be getting back many of those arms who were hurt a year ago. They've done another, in my opinion, really nice job this offseason in retooling a bullpen, in getting some options out there, a little younger options in the outfield. Is it the big bat that fans had hoped for? It's not, but I think that's okay as long as you get continued development of your young hitters, as long as Michael Garcia is not a flash in the pan, as long as Bobby Witt Jr. continues to go, as long as Vinny Pasquantino doesn't start slow and does what he's been doing. I think that the pressure's on Quatraro with the extension. Okay, vote of confidence from the front office. It was the correct one. I agree with it. But that doesn't mean anything if you don't go win this year, because I think the expectation needs to be to make the playoffs this year. Was that last year and they didn't make it?
It's true. I'm with you 100%. If they're healthy, they should be a playoff team. They should be a team that competes, you know, for the Central right there with the Tigers. Tigers are really good, but I think the Royals are, you know, should be right there in the same breath. If their offense is what the offense should be compared to what it has been in the past with the pitching that they've had, like, it should be a team that should be right there with them. So
it should be. Quick other things before we get into some of these coaching vacancies and the rhyme or reason for it in the next segment. What did you make of Andy Reid's exit interview? Anything?
I mean, not really. He didn't say anything of substance, basically, other than they had the interviews and he's just going to wait and see what everything's going on. I'm reading through it right now, actually, but they talked a lot.
It wasn't much.
They talked a lot about the Matt Nagy situation and what all that would look like if that were to happen. And he basically just kind of said, we'll just see what happens and we'll figure that out.
He's got to have a plan. I think it would be good for the team. That's not even a knock on Nagy, honestly. I mean, it kind of is, I guess.
I think the real conversation to have about this at this point, because Matt Nagy's a free agent. He's not under contract. Like,
this is the Bieniemy situation all over again.
Do they bring him back?
Are we going to just let somebody go? But like,
that's the question. Are they going? Like, I don't think it's whether he gets hired. Like, will he be back one way or another? What if he doesn't get hired? Are the Chiefs going to bring him back?
I don't think so. I think they know they need a fresh set of eyes. And again, that's what I mean. Like, that's not totally to me a knock on Nagy. I'm not intending it to be. I just, like, for the Chiefs, they need a fresh set of eyes on that offense. Yes.
The fact of the matter is, like, you can't go 6-11 and just say, yeah, that was fine. Let's just try it again. Like, we were almost there, you know? Like, You can run it back in some situations, like whenever you have the worst season you've had in over a decade, like something you can't just say like, well, you know, ball didn't fall our way. Let's try it again next year. Like you have to change something. The roster will be different, but you know.
But like you can not be satisfied with the offensive output, but also say, well, what are you going to do? Like the offensive line looks in place and talented. Yeah. What are you going to like? Rashi Rice is talented. Xavier Worthy will be healthy. Can they get Travis? It's not like those pieces individually aren't good. They are. that's what I mean with a new set of eyes. I think, like, how can we better utilize the pieces that we have? I think the pieces, I'm more concerned with how the defense retools it than the offense to some degree. Who can come in and say, boy, let's redefine our run game. We have more money and resources invested in our offensive line as any team in football. Why don't we try to lean into that a little bit? How can we better utilize one of the best interior offensive lines in football and kind of just do offense a little differently next year and see if we could? Because the reality is, even if it goes against every fiber of Andy Reid's being, which it doesn't, by the way, he has been a coach who's run the ball plenty over his career. Mahomes is coming off an ACL injury. Like, you kind of got to do it just to protect Mahomes. Last year, when Mahomes was under siege, they ran the ball more than they have in a really long time. They're willing to do it. They're more willing, I think, than Andy Reid gets credit for. So that's where it's like a new set of eyes. Yeah, that'd probably be good. Who can come in and regroup your run game? We'll see what they do. We're not going to get a lot of information, but we'll certainly watch these coaching decisions closely. Let's talk about them next. Pipe dream coaches, wildest coaches. What's the best job available? We'll talk about it all. We'll continue on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. If you want to win some HTO iced tea, a free cup on us at any of the Wichita Metro locations, east, west, or in Derby, all you have to do right now is text us the keyword T-E-A to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. New flavor launch coming Monday if you want to hang on to that, if you win until then. But it's T to the short code 20357. Free cup of tea from us at HTO. Good luck, everybody. We come back. It is now the Tuesday following Black Monday. Six NFL head coaching vacancies. We don't believe there will be any more, do we? I don't think we do. We had two come midseason with the Giants and the Titans. And then Monday we see Jonathan Gannon fired from Arizona. We see Kevin Stefanski fired from Cleveland. We see Raheem Morris fired from Atlanta. And we see Pete Carroll fired from Vegas. Six jobs open. None of them are terribly attractive, I will admit. But as you look at them, let's say you're the top guy, whoever that might be, and you could take your pick. Who does Coach Cleland? Where is your spot? If I'm
going to a team?
If you could pick any of these teams to be the head coach of, where do you think the most success is coming?
What are my options again? Tennessee, New York, Cleveland, Arizona, Vegas.
And Atlanta.
Atlanta. Ooh, Atlanta probably. I think Atlanta, I can't believe Atlanta hired, like, Stefanski's a big deal because he was a stud of a coach, like, and everybody's going to want to hire him. But I think that Atlanta, like, they had kind of something brewing a little bit, and like they got derailed by a pretty disappointing injury from their quarterback. And I wouldn't have fired Raheem Morris. I thought he had at least one more year. Like, obviously it was a letdown, but like, I think that team is awesome. Like, they've got so many weapons. If they can retain what they've got, Penix is a question mark of what he's going to be in his career, because he hasn't shown that he's going to be a star at the quarterback position. But like the Bijan and the Drake London and the
how many winning seasons do you think Raheem Morris had at Atlanta?
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did any of these guys have winning seasons except Stefanski?
Jonathan Gannon did last year, didn't he? I'm not sure. I mean, Pete Carroll's a legend, obviously. So Morris was a little bit weird. He interimed, right, for he'd been in Atlanta twice. I think that Atlanta's probably underachieved. I get that one. I like Raheem Morris, by the way. I think he's got a Spags feel. He's going to go be awesome somewhere at whatever he does. But I get I get letting him go. It wasn't working. It's hard for me to imagine taking a young, like a Penix, a young quarterback, and pairing them with a defensive minded coach. I think that's always an interesting strategy. I love defensive minded head coaches, and look, sometimes it works, right? Look at Vrabel and Drake May right now in New England, but for the most part, it makes more sense to me to pair that. And it could have something to do with that. Stefanski could never get out of the way of bad quarterback situations. Stefanski ought to just chill and wait for that first next opening that has a decent quarterback spot, or go to the team that I would give you as the team that's in the best position to like be successful next year. To me, is Arizona. I don't know if that's not necessarily like an endorsement of Kyler Murray. It's not at all, but they have a lot of really talented players up and down that roster. And I think that Jacoby Brissett was effective there. True. Enough that it's like, okay, like Murray's going to be able to give you something. Like if I'm a prospective quarterback, and who would that be this offseason? Boy, who's going to be like the Sam Darnold of this class? I'm not sure, but like Arizona feels like the safest job to me. Maybe we should put it that way. The Raiders feel like they got nothing going for them. The Giants have Jackson Dart.
The Raiders job, I want to ask you about the Raiders job, because this is the thing that we have now seen the trend of. If you are a coach with the first overall pick quarterback, you will get fired, basically, is what we've seen every single time in the last, you know, decade, basically. What if you take the job with the first pick? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you,
do you love any of the quarterbacks in the class? You that in love with Mendoza?
Yeah, he'll be the first pick.
That feels Cam Wardy to me. Like, it's not.
I've got a list for you. Per Spotrac, the top two, I don't know what they're ranking these by, top two quarterbacks that are becoming free agents this offseason are Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers.
Which you can't take Jones. Shoot. Rodgers would return to Pittsburgh before he'd be an actual free agent. There may not be that one. So at that point, you're rolling with Kyler Murray, and maybe you can roll with a Kyler Murray, Jacoby Brissett combo again.
Yeah.
Which would be okay. Like, Arizona's offense was not the challenge this year for them. Like, they showed they can be a really effective offense and probably can continue to do that. That would be the job. Like, look, if I'm taking one of these jobs, it's Arizona. The Giants have Jackson Dart, if you believe in Jackson Dart. And I do to some degree, but I don't believe in his ability to stay on the field. So that one terrifies me. But they do have Malik Nabers and Cam Scatabo coming back.
I know. I almost think I'd put the Giants above the Cardinals, honestly.
Probably. Those are the two for me where it's like, okay, they've got something cooking here. Cleveland, great defense. You can start there. Do you believe in Shedeur Sanders? I thought he was the best quarterback in the class. It's not saying a ton at this point. I don't know that I still think that, but I think you can make the case. Tennessee, you're stuck with Cam Ward. Don't think you like that one very much. And the Cleveland Raiders, again, the Raiders have got nothing going for them at this point. I mean, what do you have? Brock Bowers? Excited about Brock Bowers? Because that's about it. Ashton Jeanty, I suppose. Like the Raiders,
Fernando Mendoza.
The Raiders could reinvent themselves a little bit. The Raiders could invest in that offensive line.
I would rather take the Raiders job. I'd rather take the Raiders job than the Titans job by far.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. I probably agree with that. Because the Raiders aren't stuck with anybody.
Yeah.
Even if you had to roll out Geno again, but if they could block it up a little bit, Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty is not a bad way to start for a run base.
And the first overall pick.
And the first overall pick. But are you taking an offensive lineman first overall? Or are you going to get pressured into taking the quarterback? Because if you're pressured into taking the quarterback, I'm not sure I want the Raiders job, because I don't believe in any of these quarterbacks at this point. I love Mendoza's story and everything, but I don't think he's like all of a sudden going to be this great pro quarterback. So you're pressured there. If you're the Raiders, the one thing about the Titans is you're not pressured, right? You're going to at least give Cam Ward one more year so you can take whoever you want at that spot. But the Giants get the draft capital, and I mean, Jackson Dart, at least you can run with Dart for a year and be justified in it, and then just kind of lean into some of the other really talented players that they have. So the Giants might be, I might slip the Giants ahead of the Cardinals, but the biggest problem for the Cardinals this year is they played in one of the historically best divisions we've ever seen. And that division was stupid this year.
Yeah.
I think they've got
That's a hard part of that as well, is if you take that job, none of those other teams are getting any worse.
Well, they're getting older. I mean, you know, they're getting a little older. Stafford and Davante Adams, how much longer can they press it forward? The Niners are certainly getting older. So I don't know. That one too, you know, you also got to look at this if you're a prospective coach and say, okay, which organization feels like it's in the best spot? Tennessee seems like a freaking mess right now. Letting go of Vrabel is just ridiculous. But do you want to touch the Raiders right now with the Tom Brady situation? They just fired Pete Carroll after 1 year. That's Pete Carroll. Okay. I'm a little hesitant there. The Giants gave Dable a long leash. The Browns gave Stefanski a long leash. So you got to think about that stuff too. It's none of them are great jobs, I don't think. So that's where we're probably going to see. And I don't know that there is that coach out there just kind of waiting for, like, the Harbaugh of this year's coaching carousel doesn't seem like it's out there for me. I think you're going to see a lot of very uninspired coaching hires. And sometimes those work out, you know. Yeah. Sometimes those end up being great hires, but you know,
the Matt Nagy hires
feel like they're coming.
I got a list for you from Fox Sports: Matt Nagy, Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, Robert Saleh, Cliff Kingsbury, Vance Joseph, Broncos DC, Packers DC Jeff Hafley, Rams DC Chris Shula, Chargers DC Jesse Minter, Seahawks OC Clint Kubiak, Vikings DC Brian Flores, and Kevin Stefanski.
Well, Stefanski would be great, but I think Stefanski should wait. Clint Kubiak's done a hell of a job. I would, depending on the situation, like Kingsbury would make a ton of sense. If you're just like, and this is the way teams should think, in my opinion, like if your sole focus is to go in and develop a quarterback, I think you could seriously consider Cliff Kingsbury. You just have to understand, like, yeah, he hasn't really won games anyway. He didn't win a bunch of games at Texas Tech. He didn't want to win a bunch of games at Arizona, but man, he can develop a quarterback. He would be an interesting name for, like, Tennessee, if you're just like, we're going all in with Cam Ward. He'd be an interesting name probably for the Giants or for Atlanta, if Atlanta even believes in Penix, right? But the Giants certainly believe in Jackson Dart. And if, like, I know that's not stylistically, but Cliff Kingsbury's developed Jaden Daniels, and he's an interesting name. That'll be a fun one to watch.
How about Cliff Kingsbury to Cleveland to develop Shador Sanders? I want to revisit this. People are kind of joking about this on social media. You think there's any steam to get Deion Sanders to come coach Shador Sanders in the NFL?
I think if you wanted
to. I think if anybody would do it, the Cleveland Browns might.
If you really, truly want to get the best of Shador, then yes, I think that you could make sense of that for sure. Do you think the Browns really believe in Shador? They passed him in the draft like four or five times.
Four times, yeah.
I don't know that they do believe in Shador.
Is Shador the starter next year? I think that's a question too.
I don't know if he's the starter next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
So if you now as an organization, if you're like, yeah, you know what? Shador showed us enough. He kind of got his act together. He defended the locker room several times. Like, and look, I think he's got a lot of flaws, but the things that I liked about him in college did translate, right? He just is going to get out there and wear it and not be shaken by the pressure or anything like that. If you really believed in him, why not go get the coach that has gotten the best out of him his entire life, who has been better than his critics predicted at Colorado? But I don't know. I mean, does Prime have the energy to come be an NFL head coach?
Does Prime have the chops to go be an NFL head coach after the season he just...
Yeah, I think he does. Yes.
But I think a year ago, after what he did there, it's like, man, he's proven it at the Big 12 level now. And now, then he takes a step back and they won four games.
Prime has the chops to surround himself with people to make him successful, which in the NFL matters.
I'm not asking the question of if he would be a good enough coach. I'm asking, does he have a resume that could justify hiring him?
He does if you believe in Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
He has the resume. I mean, people are talking about right now hiring Kurt Cignetti to the Raiders so that he can coach Mendoza. What the hell's the difference, right? If the Browns believe in Shador, and I'm not sure that they do, but if they did, then yeah, go get the coach that's gotten the best out of him. That, of course, makes perfect sense to me, especially when you know Prime's going to bring in a staff around him to be like Prime is. I've been impressed. Like, I've been impressed with the job he did at Colorado. I wasn't sold, but he's been better than I thought. That program sucked, and they're not great, but they're way better now than they were when he got there. Way better. And it's been weird, and can he handle the roster? He wouldn't have to do any of that in the NFL. He'd have to motivate a locker room
to be great,
and he does that really well. And if anybody can tell Shador to shut up and play football, it's his dad. I mean, you know, or embrace those things and get the best of him. He's been the best coach Shador's had. He's been the only coach in a lot of ways, but look at what it created. So I don't mind. I mean, if they did it, I think it would make sense, but I don't know that they want Shador to be the quarterback of the future.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's a funny hypothetical to think about is all that is.
Stefanski, boy, you want to talk about just like you know, he's just like, there's no way he takes a job without quarterback being something. The Browns have made such a mess of that position and situation. It's crazy. And then you look at a team like the Raiders. I think the Raiders have had, six coaches since 2021?
Since 2021, they hired McDaniels, then fired McDaniels, then hired Pierce, then fired Pierce, then hired Carroll, then fired Carroll. All in 5 years, 6 years.
And they've had five interims years in between, right? So it's been six coaches in 5 years.
Yeah.
It does not, it's like, it's, who's taking that job?
Yeah, that can't be a recipe for success.
It's not. Like, that's not, and that's what's too bad, because like, you look at some of the pieces they have one of the league's best pass rushers. They have a talented young runner. They have Brock Bowers, who is as good as any young tight end we've ever seen. They had to trade away a talented receiver in Jacoby Myers because it was such a train wreck there. They wouldn't pay him, and he's a stud, and he's helping Jacksonville be one of the best teams in football now. They're a mess. Tom Brady, looking at you. Maybe don't stretch yourself too thin.
Maybe head coach Tom Brady? Is that what you're saying?
Might as well just give it a shot. It's hard.
Nope.
It's hard to stretch yourself over several different things. I can admit it. I've got like five jobs. It's tough. Like, it's tough to keep your focus and energy. I can't imagine trying to run an NFL organization while you're on the road calling and learning about two completely different teams. And
it's true.
I just can't believe you. I can't believe you hire Pete Carroll in the first place. And it makes it even crazier that you hire him to give him only 1 year.
I agree. I think I don't know. I kind of see the vision of firing him, not because he didn't do a good enough job, because the roster is terrible.
Well, he didn't do a good enough job, but
I think it's more so of the fact of like looking at the organization and saying like, all right, our head coach is 75 years old almost. It's like, are we going to win while he's here?
Why did you hire him in the first
place? I agree. It's a better question of why they hired him than why they fired him.
Like, if you're going to hire Pete Carroll, it is to stabilize things. You got to give him a second to do it.
I agree. He needed to be the gap guy. Like, he was never going to win a Super Bowl at Vegas. But, like, I think you could have trusted Pete Carroll to say, like, hey, give me 3 years. Make us not terrible.
And that's the crazy thing is they were building a Pete Carroll roster, right? A run-based Geno Smith, who's had success with him, right? But like they aligned the roster to fit Pete Carroll's style, and now you're going to start over? What? That doesn't make any sense. Like, that one to me, of all the coaching vacancies, that one to me is the most curious. He beat the Chiefs
in his last game and gets nothing for him.
That's right. Thanks, Pete. You almost cost us.
Maybe he's the Chiefs offensive coordinator. Maybe that's the question. Hey, he's a 75-year-old.
He's a defensive guy. That wouldn't be a good hire. Don't forget, coming up after us, Dan Patrick. Boy, it was good to hear Dan back on the air. I'm telling you, I'm just so excited that Dan Patrick's following us here at 11 to 2. Jim Rome from 2 to 5 before the BetMGM programming takes over on the nightcap. So a lot of fun stuff coming for you here. KU plays tonight, TJ. 6.5-point favorites at home. You touching that with a 10-foot pole?
Darren Peterson plays, and by all accounts, he's going to.
Right. What, Darren Peterson plays 20 minutes?
I don't know. He is not listed on the injury report at all. Not even questionable. Not even probable. He's not even on there. He's healthy.
I don't think he's going to play the full game because that's not what he does.
This is an interesting conversation because this is the first year, I think, this is the first year that Big 12 injury reports are a thing. And so you've got to let people know 2 days before your game, who's playing and who's not playing.
No, you don't.
And granted, if you don't put anything on there and there's no ramifications as we saw that in football season.
Warm-ups.
Exactly. There's no ramifications as we saw in football season. You do whatever you want, but you have to say it. And if you aren't truthful about it, you're going to get asked about it at least. So he's not on there. We'll see what happens.
I wouldn't touch 6.5. I wouldn't touch it. I think they could. I mean, they definitely can cover, but until we see, like, we have to see them do both things in one game, be the Peterson Jayhawks and the non-Peterson good version of the Jayhawks at one time. And that is going to be one of the great coaching challenges I think Bill Self's ever faced. But if they can do it, you know, that's the second best option, obviously, to Darren Peterson just getting healthy, which at this point, January 6th, I'm kind of done waiting for that to happen. I don't know. I think I'm to the point in my brain where I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen. He's not just going to be good all of a sudden, like health-wise. So how do you best utilize the minutes you can get from him? And how do you flip a switch for the rest of the team that when he's not on the court, you kind of have to play a different way? I think there's enough time where they can do it, but it'll be difficult.
Yeah, I think that tonight will be, you know, as I said the other day, every game in Big 12 play now for KU will have a storyline going into it of the situation until it gets resolved one way or another, whether that be he's good or he's just not going to play anymore. Like, every game will be going into it. Like, I don't know a single player on TCU, but I'm watching this one, and I watch them all, but I'm watching this one, you know, saying, is he going to play? How much is he going to play? When are they going to take him out? How are they going to handle this situation? And that's what every KU fan is probably doing tonight as well. Like, it's the biggest story of every single game.
And it will be until the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's not going to change, because even if he played every minute of tonight's game, are you going to be like, all right, he's good, that'll be the way it's going to be the rest of the year? No, I mean, I don't think you can do that. I think you just have to continue to say, when are his, is it cramps or whatever it is? Like, when is that going to flare up here? What I want to see tonight is, will they limit him if he plays? Will they limit him in the first half? Can you limit his minutes in the first half? Can you come out with a plan? Maybe you don't start him. right? Maybe you bring him in for the second half of the first half and then try to let him play through that way. To me, like, logically, if you're going to have the rest of the team switch gears like that, it would make more sense to have them start without him than to have him, not have him, have him. I know this is so, I know this is, these are the craziest conversations, right?
I know.
Like, what a weird conversation.
This was an interesting one that I saw. Like, if it was anybody except Darren Peterson, like, what if this happened to Bryson Tiller?
Oh, you shut him down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
but it isn't. It's the best player in the country.
Yeah.
Who gives you the best chance to be the best version of yourself.
It's true.
And is the best, you know, player probably skill-wise to come through maybe ever. So you just deal with it. And that's the part for me, like that piece of this isn't even a discussion or debate. I've seen a lot of, we'll just shut him down, just go on without him. Nope. Best player.
I know. Like, people are talking about, and like, and it's weird because if it was any other player in the Bill Self, you know, last 20 years, like maybe Andrew Wiggins has a case, like, I don't know, maybe like Frank Mason, once he became the best player in the country, may have a case or something like that. But like the rest of these guys, like every other player that he's had, even Hunter Dickinson, like if they were having this issue, they just would be done. And it would just like, listen, guys, we can't do this. We've done this.
I don't know they let Kevin McCullough try to play through a back injury.
They did. And then they shut him down. And they said, we're not doing
this.
Down,
but the conversation behind the scenes was that he kind of shut himself down. And we saw Bill Self get annoyed with that. Peterson hasn't shut himself down. And again, this isn't the other piece of this is is it an injury? Are we qualifying this as an injury? It's a situation that doesn't make medical sense. And I think that also makes it difficult for Bill Self because he can't just go to his trainers and be like, all right, what are we looking at here? It's confusing to everybody. It's confusing to Darren Peterson. It's confusing to the medical team. It's confusing to Bill Self. It's probably confusing to Darren Peterson's family. And so everybody, like, there's no cut and dry. There's no like, what do you look back on here? And I can't, it's, you're running up the court, you're playing hard, and then all of a sudden, like you start cramping. You can't really like play through cramps. Like it's not like you can't tough that out. Like your leg doesn't work right when that's happening. Yep. So I don't know that there's anything better they could be doing. There are probably things better that they could be saying, but I don't know that they're handling it. Like, I don't know that they can handle it any better because really the only other option is to just shut him down. And I think that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. I don't think you do that. So I think it's fine. It's not that it's a big deal because we can't figure it out. But again, I think we're to the point where KU just has to figure out how to best utilize him with the understanding that he probably can't give you 30 minutes a game. That's it. So now that's the task. Okay. He had the long break. Didn't work. We've seen that. We saw it on Saturday. So now how do you, with knowing that it's probably going to flare up, just assume that it is. How do you try to best utilize the minutes you're going to get out of him? And to me, it would make maybe more sense to start without him and then bring him in. Hey, guys, for the first 10, 15 minutes of this game, he ain't getting out there. He'll be there, but not for the first 10 or 15 minutes. So, you know, that version that went out to Vegas and won all your games, that's what we need for the first 15 minutes. And then we'll adjust to having the best offensive player in the country on the floor with us for the rest of the way.
It's an interesting concept because in theory that makes a lot of sense, but I mean there's more to that. I mean,
how good is this team without him? They're not good enough.
I mean, it takes a lot of, like, I don't know if you want to call it pride swallowing to do that, but like if that's what it takes, like
based on everything I've heard the players say, they are totally willing to do that. Right? Have you ever heard any player not give you, like, they can all see it with Peterson, how great he is. Like they
No. I'm not saying from that. I'm saying the perspective of like KU having to swallow their pride and or Darren Peterson, which I don't think is an egomaniac or anything like that. But like it would take them basically. That's basically them just saying like, we can't do it. We got to change it. And I think that's a hard pill to swallow.
Well, it's just doing it in a little different order. Like, we're going to see Houston and Texas Tech.
I agree. Tonight. I mean, it's not.
Texas Tech and Houston are playing tonight in Houston. Can KU without Peterson beat either one of those teams?
I think so. They beat Tennessee.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe in their best case. Maybe if
in maybe in Allen Fieldhouse
goes for 30 whatever again. Right?
Yes. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. Find that version. And I'm not technically sound enough. Listen, I can't run an offense for a fifth grade girls basketball team. Can't figure it out. Like, how do I get like I'm not pretending like this is easy. I just think it's the best path. And I think it would be their best chance to ultimately, like, what are we thinking about always when we think about KU basketball to win a national championship? The deck is stacked against them a little bit this year, but what gives them the best chance to do that? And to me, that's Peterson, but Peterson in the biggest moments of a game, right? That's what killed them against UCF. They didn't have Peterson at the end of the game. And it showed. I mean, it showed big time. They got themselves back in it. It was impressive, but you better learn how to play both with him and without him, because you're going to have to do both probably in every game that you play the rest of the way. I hope.
Potentially.
I mean, that's the case, because the other case is he can't play and this team's not going to be good enough.
Yeah. I mean, there's I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's still a case where he's good, you know, like I don't think good. It's,
oh, you mean healthy?
Yes. Yeah. Obviously he's good. He's the number one pick of the draft.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I want to think that, but I'm kind of,
I don't think it'll be for a while, but I think by the time we get to March, my brain still tells me that we're going to see a 40-minute basketball game.
I was with you. I was there until the long break and the same issue at UCF.
I know.
That break isn't coming again. So I don't know what could possibly change between now and then that it's just magically better. Rest isn't fixing it. Nothing is. Nothing's fixing it. Not practicing isn't fixing it. Like, there's nothing that's fixing it. And I get it. Like, Bill Self sitting here watching the best player he's probably ever had talent wise and saying, okay, now we got to pull him off. He's not tired. He's just carving up the defense, but we got to get him out of there. All right, pull him off. Like, that's how do you even do that in a close game? Like, that's insane to even think about. So I wouldn't start with him. I wouldn't. That's how I would do it. I'd say, all right, Peterson, you're unavailable until we get to the 10-minute mark of the first half. And then we're going to go from there. That's how this is going to go.
Is that even enough? Like, or do you want to just wait, make him wait till halftime?
No, I mean, if he's playing 22, again, now we're getting into the Stranger Things reference. Like, what's the timer? He only has 22 minutes. Like, it's 22 minutes, then you got to time it out to only get, but then what happens if there's overtime?
That'd
be
the most ridiculous. There's no way to do that. Crazy. If I watch that basketball game tonight and he's not starting, I will not.
You'd rather him start and then have to get randomly pulled off?
No, I mean, I like your idea, but it's not going to happen. Like,
I think it's
saying.
Just a good idea. I think it's the best idea for the rest of the team. I think we're guessing as far as it comes to Darren Peterson, but for the rest of them, just to know, like, right out of the gate and prepare that way feels like a better option than we're just going to play him until he can't go anymore. And then we've got to just quickly not have him. That's where that seems impossible to work through to me. Okay, that does it for us here on a Tuesday. Good timing for KU to play on a Tuesday night, because we'll have Shreyas Latta in tomorrow to discuss this Darren Peterson situation. Who knows? Maybe he'll go the full game. Wouldn't that fit the storyline just perfectly? Tantalize us all and KU wins by 20 or something. But we'll see. Meantime, I don't like 6.5 points. Thanks to Lloyd Thompson. What's that?
We're optimists here. Darren Peterson scored 30 tonight.
I still don't like the 6.5 bet. I hope that he does, but I don't like the 6.5 bet. All right. We've got Shreyas Latta in tomorrow. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson today. Go back and listen to that or anything on the Odyssey app. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on a Hawaiian shirt update.